You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Colorado Rockies. Hello, everybody. I am Allison Twitter from MLB.com, ready to talk a little Rockies baseball with our beat writer, Thomas Harding, who has been with the Rockies all spring training, is anxiously awaiting the end of spring training, as we all are. So we're ready for the regular season. But Thomas, oh my gosh, just as I learned how to say Julius Bassine, he gets released. This came as a shock to, I think, a lot of people. What was your reaction when you first found out that he had been released?
Well, you know, I was going to take a day off and sit back and just enjoy a Sunday in the desert. Then there's a Sunday afternoon surprise with Julius Chacin being released. And, yes, I was shocked. He's coming off of a shoulder injury. And was he pitching at regular season effectiveness? No, he wasn't. But I did not expect him to go ahead and release him. And by releasing him, the Rockies are making huge statements here. Number one, here's a team that gets criticized because of its starting pitching, but they say, hey, we have enough starting pitching to release a veteran type, a guy who's won 14 games, a guy who could end up one of the better right-handed pitchers in the league. So that's a big statement there. And also, what happens if Julius Chacin does get through this, hook up with somebody else, and end up the pitcher that the Rockies thought he was before the shoulder injuries? Then the Rockies end up looking bad, and there's no guarantee that they're right about this, but they weren't afraid to make that move. And I think that's another signal to the fans here that the Rockies are going to do what they feel it takes, even if people criticize them for it.
I found it interesting. Of course, the first thought that comes to my mind, because I'm a little on the cynical side, but that comes with the territory when you cover this game long enough. But he was on the hook. His contract was for $5.5 million. $1.35 gets guaranteed. So I thought, well, this is like a financial situation where they just don't want to pay him, and they'd rather it's just a way to sort of maintain the payroll and then put some young guys in there. Did that cross your mind at all?
It did cross my mind, except it's been years, and I can't remember who the last one was that the Rockies were paying not to play for them. I mean, usually if they sign somebody to a contract, they're going to hold them there, and they're going to, if they have to go on the DL, then they go on the DL, and they're going to be in a Rockies uniform until that contract expires. So looking at it differently, this is a team that usually doesn't pay dead money. I mean, they did save a lot of money, but the $1.35 million not to play for them, that's something that this team hasn't done in a few years. So they haven't been cutting people loose to save money even. It's almost like, hey, if we sign you, we're going to get all the work out of you for that amount of time. So it does save money, but to look at it as a pure cost-saving measure, I don't think so. And the other reason that I don't believe it is this has Walt Weiss's fingerprints all over it. I mean, Walt has watched some of the young pitchers, John Gray, Eddie Butler, throw, and feels like they're going to help the team this year, whether it's immediately or later. So why put yourself behind the eight ball? Put out the best starting rotation you can and see what happens with it.
So speaking of John Gray and Eddie Butler, I mean, that's a bit of pressure on them. I'm sure that they were as stunned as everyone else, but this really sends a strong signal, not just to the fan base, like you said, but to these two guys in particular. So this is just going to be kind of a here you go, here's the ball, throw it sort of season for them, right?
Yeah, it does look like it. What they did, they built up a few veteran types that have bounced around the major league, so they can fill in some holes if there are issues. But if John Gray is one of the best pitchers coming out of the gate, then he's going to get the ball. They may not need a fifth starter until later, but if they feel that Eddie Butler has pitched well enough, maybe he's the fifth starter out of the gate, because Jorge De La Rosa has a groin injury that it looks like it's going to take beyond opening day to have him back on the mound. They have some other pitchers. Christian Bergman, who came up last year, he's pitched pretty well this spring. Chad Bettis, who they've sent down to the minors, but they're rebuilding his motion, and it looks good right now. He could be called up pretty soon. So, yeah, the Rockies are, if you're one of our best pitchers at that moment, we're going to put you out there simply because you have a very good lineup. They feel that their bullpen has a bunch of guys that throw hard, that they can get through games if they get decent, not even great, but decent starting pitching. So this is all designed to win. And while you could look at it and say, Do you really expect to win that much without a guy like a Jolies Chastain who has been through this? They've made their decision, and they're going with it.
Yeah, I thought that was the other interesting part, which is Jay LaRosa that's been having all of these issues, and he could be, start the year on the DL, and it seems like, oh, my gosh, okay, where did the pitching depth go? And they're taking all these risks by just taking somebody out. So, you mentioned some of these fallbacks, but doesn't that concern you a little bit that there's that kind of workhorse, that guy right in the middle doesn't seem to really be there right now?
You don't seem to have that workhorse that can go out and dominate a game right now. However, you are talking about the first month of the season really with Jorge De La Rosa, and recent history has shown that if you don't have a great first month, you're still in the race. The way the first month is going to go for the Rockies, I think it's three of their first four series are on the road, and then they go back on the road after a little bit of time at home. So they traditionally don't perform well on the road anyhow. They could be behind the eight ball at the end of this, but at some point the schedule will make up those home games. And even last year, they were one of the best home teams in baseball. So what Walt Weiss has done throughout his time here is look at the season as a whole. Opening day is a big deal when you break with your 25 guys. But if you look at last season, he broke with six outfielders, knowing that wasn't sustainable, but that was the message for that first series of the season. Then they started bringing guys up and down, and unfortunately guys got hurt, so they ended up having to go to the minors a lot. But what he's doing is he's planning on a roster of not just 25 guys, but around 35 to 40, that they'll be bringing up guys from AAA Albuquerque throughout the season, depending on how they want to set the roster of that particular series or that particular homestand or road trip.
So let's put that one thing, like when you went to spring training, that you said, okay, this is spring training will be the time to figure this out, and we'll have some answers about this in another 6 weeks. I mean, when you look at the team now, is this kind of the offense as good as you thought it was going to be? Like, what stands out for you?
I know this is being taped, but for some reason you garbled. I didn't hear you through that one.
Oh, sorry. Okay. What were some of the questions? What was one, like, big question that you had, like, going into spring training that at this point now you're like, you feel like you have some clarity and some answers as to, you know, some area of the team that you wanted to kind of observe through the spring training, and then you feel this way about them coming out of spring training? Is there something that stands out to you?
Yeah, I'm surprised that Carlos Gonzalez and Troy Tulowitzki came back as early as they did in the spring. And when that happens, you watch and see how long it takes them to round into shape and to get into playing mode. Those guys have performed quite well for coming off their injuries about 15 to 30 days sooner than expected. So those are the guys that I was looking at. And let's face it, if they are in the lineup, this is one of the best lineups in the National League, one of the best in baseball. If they're not in the lineup, then you get what you got last year, which is a team that was struggling to win a game pretty much anywhere. So they transformed this roster, and they are healthy right now.
Okay. Well, Thomas, thank you. Enjoy the final moments of spring training, and we will be back to talk to you about opening day. Thank you.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is now available. Watch over 250 spring training games and every regular season game live or on demand in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices, every night on every device. Visit MLB.tv for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply.